I do invite you now to hear these words that come to us from the 21st chapter of Revelation. And in the Spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for the temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then the angel of the Lord showed me the river of water, bright as a crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no lamp of light or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And these words from the beloved 14th chapter of John's Gospel. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I'm with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way." May our God bless these words to our hearts and to our minds. Amen.
Brett Blair tells this story. And back in the day when trains were popular, some of us remember that, you know, before airplanes even, that she was taking her first train trip with her parents. Well, night descended, mother looked at the girl, who was clearly quite anxious, and placed her on the upper bunk of the sleeper. She told her little one that up there she would be nearer to God, and that God would be with her there and watch over her as she was sleeping. Well, as silence enveloped the young lady, she became afraid and called softly, "Mommy, are you there?" "Yes, dear," came the response. a little later, a louder voice, the child called out, "Daddy, are you there too?" "Yes, dear," was the reply. Now, this sort of went on for a while, repeated several times, and then one of the passengers who was sharing their sleeper car finally lost his patience and shouted loudly, "Yes, we're all here, your father, your mother, your brother, and all your aunts and cousins. Now settle down and go to sleep." There was a moment of silence, and then the little girl in a hushed tone said, "Mommy, was that God?" Now, you may know someone who never had any doubts about God's presence in their life. You might be someone who always felt comfort from God and with little doubt about God's presence. If you are one of these people, you are one of few. For most people fear something. They fear the darkness, or they fear the day. They fear people, or the law, or family, friends, enemies, life and death. You name it, fear is all around us. And so Jesus made it clear to his disciples that he wanted them to have peace, and that made it, and that he would leave them peace with them. Now, I certainly agree with the worried little girl. I mean, after all, it's scary sleeping in a strange place, a strange bed, and on wheels, no less. This is a scary world we live in. We are afraid of the dark, or of heights, or of germs. We're afraid of bugs and snakes and vermin. We're afraid of what might happen with the economy and with our jobs and with our retirement. We are afraid of what would happen if we get sick. How expensive would that be? Will our insurance cover it? We are afraid of what will happen if we are confronted by someone with a gun. We are afraid of what will happen if someone tries to keep us from buying guns. We're afraid from people who are different than we are, who look different, who appear to be less sophisticated or appear to be less intelligent. We are afraid of terrorists and robbers and violent folks. We're afraid of letting our parents down, or our spouse, or our children, or our grandchildren, or our neighbor. I realize that fear is relative and that there are degrees of fear. And that some things that I've sort of put on this laundry list of fears may only seem to be concerns or issues or worries. And I certainly do not mean to depress you this morning, but fear is real. Now, Jesus knew about fear, not for himself, but for his followers. In our gospel lesson, Jesus is trying to tell his disciples what will be happening in the future. He's preparing them for his eventual death and preparing them for his leaving them. I want you to listen to this morning's lesson that Pastor Linda read, but from the Message. If you want, you can follow in your pew Bible. It's John 14, 23 to 29. "Because a loveless world," Jesus said, "is a sightless world, if anyone loves me, he or she will carefully keep my word, and my Father will love them. We'll move right into the neighborhood. Not loving me means not keeping my words. The message you're hearing isn't mine. It's a message of God who sent me. I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the God has will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. The Spirit will remind you of all the things I have told you. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you. Peace. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned or bereft. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. You heard me tell you, I'm going away. I'm coming back. If you love me, you would be glad that I am on the way to the Father, because God is the goal and purpose of my life. I've told you this ahead of time, before it happens, so that when it does happen, the confirmation will deepen your belief in me. Different versions of the Bible can provide different insights and nuances to the passage. For example, the first words I read, "Because a loveless world," said Jesus, "is a sightless world." As has been the case during the last several weeks, Jesus continues to emphasize the importance of love in the world. And a loveless world is a sightless world. That does not mean everyone is blind. People see, but they often do not understand. People see, but they are not able to be involved in the world. People see, but they are not able to be strong or bold or caring or forthright. People see and are afraid, filled with anxiety and distraught. But a world filled with love is a world filled with people who understand the difficulties of life and how to face them, who see hard times in life of others and give assistance and comfort, who see wrongs and the injustice in life and try to do something about them, who feel their fears and overcome or at least do not allow them to take over their lives. A world filled with love looks like a very different place than a world that is loveless. And how about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit will make everything plain to you, it says. The Holy Spirit will remind you of all the things I have told you. I'm leaving you well and whole. Jesus wants his disciples to know that even when he leaves them, he does not leave them alone. They've grown to love Jesus, trust Jesus, learn from Jesus, organize their lives around Jesus, understood the world around Jesus. He is their center and their security and their foundation. What kind of fear must have struck their hearts when he would say that he was leaving? The Holy Spirit will make everything plain to you, he said. Jesus leaves them well and whole, not fearful and broken. And in this announcement of his leaving, he gives the disciples a gift. That's my parting gift to you, is peace. I do not leave you the way you are used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereft, so don't be upset, don't be distraught, but be at peace. So how do we deal with our fears? We face our fears head on and prove to ourselves there's nothing to fear? Do we avoid that which we are afraid of? Do we rely on the help of others? The message of Jesus is rely on God. Believe in what I have told you. Allow your faith in God that loves you to overcome your fears. That is true for us as individuals. That is true for us as a church. Now, these interim times, times of transition, can be fearful times in a church. You enter this time of transition with a lot of unanswered questions. You enter this time of transition knowing that these are times of change. And we are afraid that change will take away what we are comfortable with. We are afraid that change will cause us to be a church in a different way. We are afraid that change will cause us to be a church, to become part of this. We are afraid that change will mean different folks become part of this community of faith. We are afraid that change will mean losing power over our little kingdoms. We are afraid that change will challenge us to be the church in ways we do not understand. We are afraid that change will challenge us to make choices and to do things that we are not comfortable with. But Pastor, we're not afraid of what's going to come. We have concerns, we have worries, but we're not afraid. Well, maybe not. I hear you. But I would venture to guess that when there is stonewalling, when there is ignoring of issues of the past, when there is denial or avoidance of present problems and issues, there is fear. And you're right to be afraid for but a moment. Jesus does not want you to be afraid or to be distraught, not in the church and not in your individual lives. Jesus does not want you to feel abandoned or alone. Jesus does want you to feel loved and whole and well. Jesus does want to challenge you, encourage you, strengthen you, embolden you to face your fears, to embrace change, to find comfort in what is new and possible, to be open to what the world of love has to offer, to seek out life and courage, wholeness and service and ministry, and to be an instrument of his peace and a witness to his love. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Amen.